The loveracing.nz update, your home for everything thoroughbred racing. Visit loveracing.nz, racing's biggest fan.
Welcoming into the show today, one last time with me, it is Stephen Hunt, who does a fantastic job with TAB. As I open my emails to get a deposit 100 for a bonus bet, well, that shows you how bad I went last weekend. Hunty, afternoon, morning, I should say to you, how's it all been?
Morning, Louis, your last dance. Pretty emotional.
It is. Yeah, very. Hey, and you know, and you will be able to attest to this. I've always maintained I'm good for turnover, so I don't know what you guys are going to do. You have to find someone to be enticing the punters.
Yeah, 100%. You do contribute to my wages. There's no doubt about that, Louis. But what I will say, Louis, and look, it's disappointing that we'll be losing you from the media content side. Look, I've worked with you for a number of years now, but look, I think it was very important on people like yourself coming out of that COVID area where the code was really in a dire straits, you could say, like most industries and codes and sports, etc., coming out of that COVID period. But yourself, you had that work with the BGP and content, and then the launching of SENZ. You're pivotal to getting the code back on track after what it was, as I say, some dark days. But look, you're going to be missed, mate, no doubt about it. I've enjoyed my time working with you over the last 2 to 3 years. But don't be a stranger. Keep in touch.
I certainly will. And I will make sure I've got my finger on the pulse to a degree as well. And I'm absolutely certain, and I say this with, like, I genuinely mean this, I'm absolutely certain that I'll work with you guys again. And I know that the game is a better place. It's a funny one. Like, you don't want to be a self-congratulator, so I won't. But I will say that, I'll just echo your sentiment there. Like, the sport was in a pretty sketchy position going back after COVID, and there was probably more importantly than that, and you'll know this because you were in the building, there's a lot of probably disillusion from punters and maybe even from some employees of the TAB about where we were at. And like the last 12 months, but probably 9 months in particular, has been so rewarding to see so many good people like yourself, Steve, and a lot of punters kind of back with the heartbeat and the zest for it again. Like, I've really felt that, and it's almost really satisfying. I feel really proud for everybody. You know, we've kind of got our mojo back to a degree. Now it's about maintaining it and growing on it. The job is not nearly done, but it feels good, doesn't it?
It does. You can feel that vibe within the office here in Petone HQ. But I think previous times when there's been change, the rest of the racing participants or shareholders have held back and almost pulled the other direction. But yeah, Seeing the last 6 months of Entain coming aboard and working closely with NZTR, the Sharrocks and teams, and obviously New Zealand Bloodstock, everybody's getting in behind and walking in the same direction. I think that's pivotal going forward for the next 5 to 6 years, because as we know, that's where Entain have promised a lot of movement in the last 5 to 6 years. But in this space between now and then, everybody needs to grow with Entain. I'm not just saying it's just the flow of Entain. There's other major parts to the puzzle. But if everybody can just work together, then the next decade or so looks very, very promising.
Yeah, 100%. The alignment has been the biggest factor. I totally agree with that. It's a really good point. Mate, look, here's the thing. We've got really good racing this weekend still. We've got Thoroughbred Breeders, which is a fun field to price. I'll get you to talk us through it, because I just love the mixing form lines here. I love Grail Seeker being in this race. I really like Hiyo Sass Bomb staying at a mile to have a crack. Pearl of Alsace had the look around Ellerslie and you know, was smart. Like, the kind of the juice you can get around Fashion Shoot, a really capable mare. The fact that the punters just took Belle Clear's $9 straight away. Then you've got the class of Mustang Valley and La Creek. I just think this is a really fun market. You must have had a good week. It would have been some good conversation in the office as you were framing it, I imagine.
There was, Louis. Look, on La Creek, in numbers, on good tracks, La Creek holds top three best performance ratings in the field, which includes her last start win at OTAC at Wait for Age, where she recorded 97.7, which ranked third best in her career thus far. So she's going almost as well as Everlar Creek, which is a great sign, but the fact that she's drawn the outside gate, barrier 12, this race now becomes very, very interesting.
Mm. Okay, that's a good factor, actually. So what do you have? What did your map tell you? Do you think that Matt, well, knowing the way Ellerslie has been, let her slide and try and get on a three-wide train somewhere slightly forward of midfield or even further and try to go forward?
Look, early in her career, she was a horse that quite often sat in the first two or three. I think from barrier 12, Maddie's got to show some intent. If he just goes back to that neutral position or even worse in midfield, there's a possibility he may still be stuck three wide facing the breeze. But I do feel there's a little bit of a window there between the likes of Town Cry, Belclair, who's going to sit one and two in the map. I think Town Cry just drawing a little bit outside Belclair gives the advantage to her to come across and find the paint. Whether Belclair wants to take the trail or eventually come off the trail and sit outside Town Cry. But I think those two in general set up the tempo. Outside that, you've got Blissful Bell, who will look to come across from barrier 11 or 10 from memory. And I think that guides La Creek and Maddie Cameron to come across and possibly sit in the first four or five, a little bit of cover. The ideal spot for Maddie would be one out, one back. But I do feel there's just a little bit of room between Town Cry, Belclair, and possibly the second division, the likes of Pearl of Alsace, Mustang Valley, Hiyo Sass Bomb, who have all drew 3-2-1 respectively. Grail Seeker will try and push forward somewhere around that neutral position, knowing that she's got that weight relief being a three-year-old filly. And then you've got the natural back markers, Carmen Line, Fashion Shoot, Maria Farina, Co as well. So, look, it wasn't a difficult map, but as you know, you only need one or two to go pear-shaped in terms of the map on paper to turn upside down. But it's an interesting one. You go back with Pearl of Alsace, who's been one or two firmers, Louis. The other one you touched on was Belclair. But Pearl of Alsace, look, she comes out of a race winning a couple of weeks ago at HQ. She's ticked that box. But that was a glorified call and sprint, and she was beautifully placed at set weights and penalties. Five wins from seven starts at the mile. Though her BP, a lot of people would think she's a better miler. Her PB still sits in the Livermore over 2040 when she finished third last season, or last year, should I say. I think the key stat about her is that she really improves first up to second up. She's unbeaten in that mode, two from two. And Michael has plenty of options from that draw, as I say. He can just watch it all unfold, whether La Creek comes wide across from a wide gate. He can just sit perfectly from that draw and just be forward to midfield, one off the rail.
This is where I need your ratings kind of guru hat to be on, because I've just got a gut feel that Grail Seeker is in this up to her eyeballs, but that's just of what I've seen of her and kind of what I think she might be capable of doing. And then the setup as far as the jockey and the barrier, obviously the weight relief, but still with the weight relief, she's not well weighted. She's not well in. What did she do last start, numbers-wise? Because it was emphatic on the eye. What did the clock say? And can you take much from it, knowing it was a soft seven going the other way to what the setup is this week?
Look, her best numbers have been with a little bit of juice out of the track, and there's the odd shower forecast at Ellerslie, but how's Ellerslie going to play if we get genuine rain? That's still a little bit of a question mark, but you've got to play on the cards that it's going to be no worse than a 5 or 6 at Ellerslie. But, yeah, left-handed, right-handed, that's a conversation as well to add into the variables. But just purely on numbers coming out of the the Group 1, or should I say was a Group 2 now, the one Wellington Guineas now, not the Living Class as it was back in that date. But, look, it rated 2.4 lengths off the class. So when you're converting it to the fillies and mares, she probably needs to improve at least two and a half lengths, Louis. Not to say she can't, because as we know, three-year-olds, they're still on the upward trajectory. She's still on the improvement, and it was definitely a PB last start. So she's heading in the right direction, Grail Seeker. She maps okay. She's got a reasonable gate from barrier 5. I've got no doubt they'll look to try and use that gate and sit just forward of midfield with Grail Seeker. She's not a horse that likes to be in the first 3 or 4, but just forward of midfield ideally positions her well on the map. Look, she is a hard horse to determine where her SP lies on Saturday afternoon. Currently, she's around about that $9-$10 quote. We saw her initial money in the first 30, 40 minutes, but since we opened, when betting commenced yesterday afternoon, but that has dried up a touch. Look, three-year-olds, you go back historically when they've clashed in this race. You only have to go back a couple of years ago. Imperatriz won this race as a three-year-old filly. We know she's won out of the box, Imperatriz. But then you have to go back as far back as 2008 when he had Special Mission winning as a three-year-old filly as well. So, look, I haven't crunched the numbers of how many fillies have actually contested this race, but just we've had the two winners in the last, 13, 14-odd years. So, yeah, it's a hard one to work out. But, look, for me, she probably needs to improve two or three lengths. And for that reason alone, I'm willing to just take a slight set against her on Saturday.
Okay. I think the extra distance just to the mile is going to be right in her wheelhouse. I love it. I love the mile for her. I think it's her. I actually think she's a bit underrated even after that explosive win. And we kind of lost her two starts back, I think. Maybe she got stuck in... She kind of dropped out of people's top liners, which she isn't, but she's very, very good filly, I think. We got multiple texts coming in wondering why, if you can get the person on the buttons to activate the power plays for that race.
Well, I wouldn't say that'd be too far away, Louis. I'm not on the trading floor at the moment. I'm upstairs, but as soon as I get back down there, I'll ask for the power plays.
Just jump up and down. Just bang
have
your
you got,
foot.
Have you got one on mind? Have you got one you want to declare or recommend?
No, I don't. No. I'm going to be in the air. I'm not even going to see the race. I honestly don't. But we just have had two texts from the same person. I bet I could find you one, though, really quick. I would shop around Pearl of Alsace and Grail Seeker. Here you go. Both Pearl of Alsace and Grail Seeker, top four, $5. Yeah, probably want a little bit more than that, to be honest. But it's a tough race. It's a really nice race. Mate, can I just draw your attention to the Australian Cup? Because I think if you told people that Legato was going to start $13 or open at $15 in Australian Cup going back to the Herbie Dyke, they'd be like, really? Or actually pre Karaka Classic, they'd be like, or pre the Elsdon race, Elsdon Park race, I think people would be like, really? Like, what went wrong? Nothing's gone wrong, but at the same time, it's not great to see horses that SP $1.20 getting beat, is it?
No, it's not. But what I will say just on her performance ratings, going back to 12 months ago when she was winning at Flemington, albeit at three-year-old age group in the Guineas, she's going as well as she was 12 months ago. She's consistently in those high 90s. She hasn't broke 100 in terms of a performance rating this time in. And the one time she did achieve that was winning the 1,000 guineas as a three-year-old here at Riccarton. But she's consistently hitting, even though she's been beaten two of her last three starts, Louis, she's consistently hitting 98.5 and above. So somewhere between 98.5 and 100. So there's no knock on her performance ratings here, even though she, as you say, she's been beaten twice at Ellerslie, been deep into the red. But
Could I just get so people, so the performance ratings are really helpful with stuff like this. So you that's a really good number, anywhere between the 98.5 and 100. But in this field, against, is this the reason that the price is what it is? Like, off the top of your head, if you were taking a stab in the dark against a Mr. Brightside, what would she need? Like 104 to win this race? 103? Something in that realm, knowing what those sort of top line Australian weight for age horses put up and when they're kind of peaking?
She would, yeah. She definitely needs to improve. So let's not go away from the fact that she needs to improve in what she's shown here domestically. In saying that, Mr. Brightside, Pride of Jenny, both their best performance ratings have come over a shorter trip, 1,600 metres, even though Mr. Brightside has been placed in a Cox Plate. I do believe Cox Plate 2,040 metres and 2,000 metres at Flemington are slightly different, and you can go back to Mr. Brightside, Pride of Jenny, both have not won over 2,000 metres as yet. So, look, there's variables against the top two that dominate the market. Mr. Brightside, 230 out of 250, and Pride of Jenny, 280 out of $3. The big move has been a tissue, and she just loves Flemington over 2,000 metres. That really is her sweet spot, left-handed at HQ, and she has been the big mover. But like you say, Legato, I think from memory, there was people willing to layer at $18-$21 this time yesterday, but she has firmed into $15 from $13 on our measuring stick. And Cascadian, who also is the defending champ, proven at 2,000 metres, has been a notable firmer as well, 10 into 850.
If we go to Rose Hill, and I think you've kind of nailed the synopsis there of the Aussie Cup. If we go to Rose Hill and have a look at the Vinery, they've just run a big feature on Orchestral on the Sydney Racing Show. It's so nice to see Roger and Robert have another good one to take over there after what happened with Prowess. I got to be honest, I was probably a bit surprised. Maybe I've got more respect for Zardozzi than the average person, but... maybe it was the draw and the smart people straight away looking at the map and trying to kind of judge it like that, why the quick firm was on Orchestral. But she's currently with you guys trading at $1.60. I would have struggled in my head to have thought that she would have finished, like closed, started shorter than that. Zardozzi, $4.20. Zardozzi $1.85 top two versus Orchestral is $1.60 to win. I don't know. I've got all the respect in the world for Orchestral, but I don't, part of me is just a wee bit surprised and maybe slightly weary. What about you?
I'm not surprised she's been traded into the red this far or this far out from the race. She's been trading around about $2.25 in final field. I think you could have got a boost around her, Louis, at $2.50 for the last 2 to 3 weeks, but that's long gone in futures betting. $1.60. Open quote $1.85. I think that was on Tuesday afternoon when this final field came out for the Vinery. What I will say, and historically, horses that come out in the New Zealand Derby quite often peak first up run in Sydney and they regress in their second run in Sydney. Now, if you're looking at Orchestral, she runs in the Vinery obviously on Saturday. Then there's the possibility or likelihood that she'll back up in the Oaks. There is still talk that possibly a Derby or a Queen Elizabeth, but the weight is suggesting that she'll run in an Oaks in 2 weeks after the Vinery. Zardozzi, now if you're weighing up Zardozzi and Orchestral, they both had a very similar, almost identical performance rating when Orchestral hit a 101.5 in the Derby, beating the boys here at Ellerslie, to when Zardozzi hit basically, as I say, an identical number when winning the Victorian Oaks at the back end of last year. This time round, I think if Zardozzi was to beat Orchestral, and what I've just unfolded and said around possibly regressing the New Zealand horses after bouncing out of the Derby second up in Sydney, I think her best chance, Zardozzi, is not on Saturday beating Orchestral, but in the Oaks, when she's got that peak number, which she recorded in Victoria, in November. So, yeah, I can see Orchestral becoming quite static around about that $1.60, $1.65 between now and race close.
Okay, I actually agree with you after hearing your justification there, or your explanation. I actually agree, and I think you're right. The setup back from, like, I obviously don't have that historical data in front of me, but that makes sense in my head that horses coming back from that 2-4 to, and you know, like, how good was Antrim Coast as well? And that's the same sort of thing, right? You know, stepping back to that kind of 2000 metre, 1800, whatever it is, 2100, that is really after a little freshen up right in their wheelhouse. I would love to see Orchestral go on, but just knowing the trainers, like, they'll only do it if they're certain she's going to run a massive race in the Aussie Oaks, so they won't be afraid to put her away. She really doesn't have anything else to prove once she races in the Vinery. You could argue she doesn't even have anything to prove now because of the kind of manner of her performances in New Zealand, but I think they've got every reason to go into this race with J-Mac on from Barrier 2 saying there's just no other filly in probably the Southern Hemisphere I'd rather have lining up, which is cool. It's awesome. It's really exciting for Kiwis as well. So that race, that's at 6 p.m. So forget the lead story on the news. It'll just be depressing anyway. Just flick on Trackside and watch Orchestral go around in the Vinery. Hey, Hunty, I'd love to get your take on this. We're looking futures. We're looking at the Cox Plate. Okay, I'm looking at tab.co.nz futures. You can get Orchestral at 15-1, or you can get Legado at 26-1. Now, one's a filly, one's a Group 1 winner at Wait for Ages, a 4-year-old. Is that a little insulting to Legado?
No. No. I think Orchestral's won out the box. If she was trained right, she would almost be favourite in the Doncaster as a 3-year-old filly. That's how high I rate her. She could win a top Group 1 mile. I think I mentioned to you a few weeks ago on radio on SENZ. She is that good. Whatever they want to target with Orchestral, Roger James and Robert Wellwood, she can win it. She is that good. I think she's one out of the box. You've got to respect the camp what James McDonald has quoted around Orchestral. Look, I don't think she's come close to her ceiling, which is very scary. And where, as I say, Legato has just become quite static in the last 12 months around her ratings, where Orchestral has already found that rating well above 100. I'd be on Orchestral over Legato. I don't think that's negative around Legato's quote of 21-26, as you mentioned, around the Cox Plate. But Orchestral, if they want to go that way this early in terms of an early four-year-old towards a Cox Plate, I'd be over her, all over her.
I just, like, I've just been so taught to be, I've been taught to be so wary about four-year-old mares in spring. You know? Like, no matter what their rating is as a three-year-old filly, and, you know, Jamie Richards used to just say this, he would always try to temper expectations about four-year-old mares coming back. There's just, the variables are way more, like the animal stuff. Like, the numbers can be the numbers, but, yeah, I just wouldn't be ready to say that, you know, like, I probably, personally, I'd slightly disagree. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I just think that the $11 juice you're getting on Legato over Orchestral this far out, I still think Legato has space to grow another leg in her career, and I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, how lucky are we that we can talk about a filly and a mare like this and talk about the Cox Plate? And I don't think we're crazy, like, entertaining it. I really don't. I mean, I think if you look at the Cox Plate last year, Romantic Warrior came over and won it. You know, that was fantastic for racing, but that was Romantic Warrior. That was a little bit different. Mr. Brightside was there in a nose, but, like, the race was kind of there. It was not, I'm not going to say it was wide open because it's Cox Plate, but I don't see a major Wait for Age star to be scared of in Australia at the moment. Like, Fangirl's got her problems, and she's a special horse, but, you know, like, Mr. Brightside's, he's really good. He's a superstar. I don't think we're going to say that he's an all-timer, though, are we? And you know, prior to Jenny, there's just too many question marks over her. You know, but that breakneck speed, I think science would just suggest that she can't do that over 2,000 metres. We're going to find out on Saturday, which is the amazing thing. But I really do think the 2024 Cox Play is going to be one that we're going to have a major New Zealand interest in. And I don't think that's a major claim to have.
I agree. It just shows you, on reflection, how lucky we've been with our stars in the last 15, 20 years, the likes of Winx, Sunline, Northerly, horses that have been pure champions that have dominated the Wait for Age ranks over their period of time, whether it's been a 2-3 year window. Because what we've seen in the last 2 to 3 years since Winx has retired, much of a match. They've all had their turn in the sunlight, so to speak. And like you say, it's very even looking in at the futures markets, headed by Romantic Warrior. Whether he comes over and defends the crown remains to be seen. But the Fangirls, Mr. Brightside's, Pride of Jenny, they've all had their turn without being a dominant Wait for Age horse. So I don't know. Are we reaching too high to think Orchestral may be that horse? Well, I'm not ruling it out.
Probably not. Yeah, I think that's the point. Probably not. Like, the market tells the story. You know, we had Very Elegant and Animo in there, but Very Elegant was a way different horse. She was just a unique one. She's just totally out of the box. And, you know, the range of distances she won Group 1s at. And Animo, you know, some conjecture about whether Animo's a modern-day champ. He was pretty special horse, but, you know, I think as time goes on, maybe I soften my stance on how good he was. Yeah, Clayton always maintained he wasn't a modern-day champ, and I kind of maybe got sucked into the moment a little bit. But, look, it's a good conversation to have looking at the spring, but we do have a full-on autumn to come, and we've got plenty of New Zealand interest in the championships. Hunty, it's been a pleasure, mate. I thank you for all of the good service you do. You are a good racing man. I hope people have got to... I hope we've humanised you a wee bit here on SENZ. That's been my main goal for two. Can we humanise Hunty? I think we might have, all right? So I think people really appreciate what you do, mate, and I hope you keep doing it for a long time.
Yeah, no, pleasure, mate. And yeah, like I say, don't become a stranger. Keep in touch. I'm sure you'll keep a close tabs on the domestic code here and in the thoroughbreds, because I know it's a deep love and passion. And look, as I say, don't be a stranger. I'm happy to help out with the odd tip, whether it's is successful or not. But maybe for a little bit of a tip just before you leave our shores,
yes,
is Imperial Impress in the first at HQ on Saturday. Very talented filly out of the Stephen Marsh camp. I think he'll be going very close. We'll appreciate the 7 furlong stepping up. Dawn the Ace and Michael McNair. Oh. I think she's going to go through the grades this time.
You are
and
unbelievable.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say about pedigree, and I don't have a share in the stallion.
You are unbelievable. There's not someone with the last name, not Thompson, that likes Satono Aladdin more than Stephen Hunt. Just remember that when you look at markets, just keep that in the back of your head. All right, there is a blind spot. No, he's pretty special stallion so far. Imperial Empress, noted. See you, Stephen. Nice to catch up.
Cheers, mate.
There you go. He's a good man. He really is. We are 29 minutes past 11. So many texts to get through here. We'll get to them after this. I need to go and get a drink of water because I am salivating at all these markets.